If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Can't stop obsessing about your ex or worrying about paying your bills. Maybe you just can't stop beating yourself up over that stupid thing you said the other day at work. Well, you're not alone. Lots of us just can't stop those negative thoughts. Luckily, there's a research-backed way to stop ruminating called self-distancing. Today, I'm going to teach you all about self-distancing and my top 4 ways for putting it into practice. So stay tuned. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven. With over 30 years of experience helping people create connection, joy, and ease in all their relationships. What's my secret? Well, besides being totally hilarious, I help you think differently so you can approach your relationships in a completely new way. I'm the best deal in town because the tools I teach apply to all your relationships, which allows you to simplify your life and find the confidence, calm, and deep love you've been craving. Combining my hands-on experience and all the latest research, I've created actionable tips and tools you can apply quickly and easily to create lasting change in all your relationships today. So let's get to it. Hello. Yay. Welcome back. Oh my gosh. This is the last episode of season 3. Yay. Cue cheering. Cue it all. Anyway, really excited. What a journey this has been. And this is it, my last episode of the season. And then I'm going to be taking 2 weeks off and then coming back for season 4 of the podcast. And I've got some special guests coming on the podcast, some just brilliant people in different fields who I'm going to be interviewing to really teach you about things like forgiveness and just all kinds of good stuff and happiness, you name it. So it's going to be a great season. It's going to be a lot of me just talking at you too, of course. But so I know you're going to miss me while I'm gone. I'm going to miss you, but you don't have to. And so I have written down some ways you can still stay connected and keep the self-improvement train going. I want you to think of any topic you want to work on. Go to my website, type in that keyword in the search bar, and then listen or read. Do that. That would be a great way to deal with those 2 weeks off. I have, 150 episodes of this podcast. And even if you've listened to every one of them, I see you. I love you. There's likely some that you could go back to listen to that would really be helpful. Just really think about it. But think of a topic, mindfulness, whatever. Type it in. Start listening, start or reading, or going over to my YouTube channel. You could go binge watch me on my YouTube channel and, of course, subscribe. And, of course, like all the videos. But you could go do that. You could follow me on Instagram and see all my shenanigans while I'm gone, as well as, you know, get daily inspiration and education for your relationships. I do these little reels every week, you know, these little 30-second videos. We do put a lot of some of my YouTube stuff up there, the podcast. There's all kinds of stuff on there, but there's a lot of things just to meant to keep you motivated and inspired. And what I would love is if you send me an email telling me how much you love and miss me. That would be so cool. And maybe even include what you'd like to hear me gab about in season 4. I would love for you to just, you know, maybe put season 4 in the subject line and just give me whatever you want. But I would also love to hear any feedback you have about the podcast, even if it's not great. It's always good to improve and be better and bring you more and more. And there you go. So I think that's it. Let's get to it, right? Okay. So, and we've all been there, right? Beating ourselves up over something we said or did, you know, obsessing about a decision we made and worrying that it was the wrong one. Your parents are fighting and you're feeling anxious about what's going on, maybe, and you're obsessing about it. There's so many ways it shows up where we're, and what we psychologists call ruminating, where we're just thinking it over and over and over, and we can't seem to stop our little tiny wonderful brains. So the good news is that this is such a common problem that researchers have been looking at this issue for a really long time, and they've identified many techniques, but the one I'm going to talk about today is called self-distancing, and it's been proven to be effective to stop really rumination and negative thinking, and at the very least to really minimize it to a place where the thoughts aren't as strong and they don't come as often, you know, because anyone who says they can erase negative thinking obviously is telling a little fib. But it's amazing how self-distancing techniques work. And I've included them at different points in the podcast over the last few years, but I've never done one where I put everything in one place. And some of the ones I'm going to talk about, I haven't even talked about before. So there you go. So, you know me, I'm going to start with the research because that's my jam before we get into these great ways to do it. So we know from the research that ignoring difficult feelings or just shoving them under the rug doesn't work. However, just thinking about a negative event over and over, that doesn't work either. When you do that, you get immersed in whatever happened and you feel bad. So, you know, maybe you had a fight with your partner. You remember what they said, what you said, how they reacted. And as you're playing over and over in your mind, all those same feelings arise. You get angrier and angrier, or sadder and sadder, whatever yucky feeling it is. You know, we've all been there. Hello, right? You need to be able to think about things and resolve them, of course, without getting, you know, all twisted up in the negative emotions. And the answer to that is something called self-distancing. And basically, self-distancing is being able to step back and view yourself and the situation more objectively. Okay. It's like being a fly on the wall, basically, observing things instead of being an active participant in them. I know, but very easy to adopt these strategies. And the research shows that that it really works. You know, when you talk about something difficult and use a self-distance perspective, you're really able to make better sense of your reactions and what happened. You have more emotional regulation, less emotional and physical pain. How do you like that? Brought on by anxiety. And as I mentioned earlier, it decreases the duration of negative emotions. So I don't know, win-win-win, right? And of course, I'll link to all the research on the show notes page, abbymedcalf.com/podcast. It'll all be there if you want to go down and dirty looking at the research. So, and the same research also shows that even when you're remembering the event much later, if you practice self-distancing, you're less likely to have negative thoughts about it. How do you like that? So, you know, not get triggered later is really, I think, what that means to me. So when you practice self-distancing, you're really able to think about something, you know, yucky that happened in a way that actually offers you insights and some sense of closure. I don't think there's anything people want more than closure, I'll tell you that. And if that's not enough to get you on the self-distancing bandwagon, there's even more research showing how it helps you manage conflicts in your relationship, reduce anger, reduce aggressive thoughts and behaviors, and help you problem solve better. I know, it's like a miracle. It's a freaking miracle I'm bringing you today. So how does it look? Let's just go there. I can't even say, I was going to say IRL. I can't say IRL in real life. So there was some work I did with two sisters that's so perfect for this. And if, I'm going to rename them for the sake of anonymity. And it was years ago. So if you've worked with me recently and your sisters, it's not you. we'll call them Elizabeth and Natalie. How do you like that? I'm giving them names. So they came in with this old hurt they'd had for years that it's a long story, but like a family reunion and this whole thing that one person thought the other person did. It was a whole she said argument that had happened from that. And they'd been having it for years and had really driven, it really created a problem in their relationship that kept coming up. They were close, but in some ways, but it's always like this thing lurked. And as they described the situation, you know, each of them was completely focused on her own hurt feelings, right? And her own feelings of rightness, how right she was. Each of them, they were focused on their facts, right? All the particulars, you know, she came at this time, she said this, then she did this, then you did that, you know, this whole thing. So of course, they each had different versions of what actually happened, you know, from their own perspectives. And as you might imagine, this replay was getting us nowhere. So I asked them both to, you know, just take a deep breath. That's what I said. I was like, take a deep breath. And I asked them both to take a minute and think of why they were there. I reminded them that they love one another and that they're looking to find a way to feel better, you know, resolve what happened. And this in itself, by the way, is a self-distancing technique. It is. I was taking them out of the, you know, kind of inside deep feelings of the situation and I was helping them distance themselves a bit to, you know, and remember the big picture. So, and then I asked each of them some self-distancing questions. You know, Elizabeth, why do you think you were so hurt by what happened? Natalie, how do you think these two people got to this point? See, these two people outside of yourself. Elizabeth, how did your anger affect Natalie? Right? So again, talking about the other person. Natalie, how did your refusal to speak to Elizabeth after the incident affect her? Right? Thinking about how we're affecting others. It might sound simple, but a shift in perspective like this is super powerful. And we really took care of this in one session, this thing that had been going on for many years. So here are four great tools. And I use that as an example because it was such a win. But anyway. So here's four great tools to practice self-distancing. So let's just break them down. Number one, you can think, what would someone else think? So picture a loving friend, you know, watching this interaction or listening to your thoughts. What would they say or think? That's what you do. That's a great self-distancing technique. You could also try to visualize the perspective of someone you admire. In psychological terms, we call that an exemplar. You come up with an exemplar, someone you admire. Could be someone you never even knew, like someone famous, living, dead, doesn't matter. And then ask yourself, what would they do in the situation? It's the classic, what would Jesus do? You know, it's why that works. It's a self-distancing thing. It works really well. And I'll tell you, there was some great studies. This works great with little kids too, if you have kids. There was another study where young kids who envisioned Batman in the middle of an upsetting situation and asked themselves, what would Batman do? Were able to self-distance more effectively with all these different metrics, you know, like feeling better, feeling less anxious. They even had brain scans on some of the kids, you know, the kids, their brains were not reacting as strongly, all kinds of things. So what would Batman do? Use that one. That's a good one. All right. So that's number one. What would someone else think? The second tool is to take a break. It's a great strategy is to take a break and get literal I mean, literally physical or mental distance from whatever's bothering you or from whatever actual conflict's going on. If you're having some kind of emotionally charged argument, you know, with your dad, or you notice you're having an almost panic attack worrying about paying your bills, take a 10 to 15 minute break. Go wash your face, take a walk, physically leave where you are, watch a funny video on YouTube, but create some distance, literally, and a little time out from whatever's bothering you, you know, and by stepping physically or mentally out of the, you know, situation that's so distressing, what you're doing is you disrupt that negative momentum. That's what you're doing. From there, you can take a breath and get some perspective. That's how it works. And it's what I did with these two sisters. When I just said to them, hey, let's just take a breath. Let's remember why we're here. You know, you love each other. I gave them that big picture. That is self-distancing too. Again, it's taking a break. It was having them get out of the argument and just take a minute. And it really works. Number three, use he, she, or they instead of I. So you want to change the pronoun. What you're doing is making sure your internal dialogue doesn't use the word I. And in studies, when people said, you know, she thinks or Abby says, when they were talking about themselves, right? Instead of I think or I say, they said she thinks or Abby says, right? They did it that way. So in the studies, yeah, of course they still saw challenges. It's not like these people suddenly, you know, like fairy dust took them over. But instead of them feeling threatened, instead of it inducing anxiety, the issue was seen as resolvable and winnable. And so that's what you're looking for, right? So instead of asking yourself, why am I worried about this? Ask yourself, why are you worried about this? You could do that. You know, why are you worried about this? You know, you're just putting it out there. It's, again, super effective and super easy. Obviously an easy thing to teach your kid or anyone else. And you'll see a difference right away. It's kind of amazing. And the fourth one is, what would your future self say? So it's a really effective tool to ask what your future self would say. It's what the researchers call temporal distancing. And so you might ask yourself, well, how would I feel about this 1 week or 1 month from now? You know, picture yourself 10 years from now and ask yourself, ask him or her, you know, what are your thoughts about this situation? And you will, it's amazing how much you can really change how you're feeling. You immediately feel different. It's kind of amazing, just in the moment, just from doing that.
In the end, self-distancing is really about increasing your psychological distance just from your own, you know, self-centered perspective, I guess you could say, from yourself. When you're assessing something, when you're looking at something, when you're deciding about something. And it really allows you to detach from emotional situations, from things that might trigger you, and can help you truly make more rational, effective, connected, confident decisions. And in the end, that's what you want. You don't want to come back later with regrets. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Why did I say that? Why didn't I do this? You really want to be living in your moments and be able to handle what comes at you. And that's it for today. Oh my gosh, we're done. It's done. Season 3 is complete. And I know I do this every time, but I really want to thank you. This has been such a journey. I'm excited for the next leg of the journey. I'm excited to come at you, still with all these techniques and ways to be happier in all your relationships, not just your romantic ones. You know, how to be more effective at work. And, you know, I'll probably bring parenting in the mix a little bit more, or maybe I'll have an offshoot of that. I'd love to hear from you. A few of you have asked for that. I'm not sure if I'm up for two podcasts, but I might, create it within the Relationships Made Easy umbrella. And have a parenting made easy or something like that. So I
it's a lot to tackle, but I have learned a lot about parenting from the research and from my own stuff and from what works with clients. Same way I do everything else. So we'll see. But if there's other things you want, as I mentioned earlier, I'd love to hear from you. And again, I would love an email. I'd love a love email letting me know what the podcast has meant to you. And if you're okay with it, I'd be really excited to read it on a future podcast. If you're not okay with it, that's fine. Just say it's confidential or give another name. But I would love to hear your thoughts, what you'd like to see more of or less of, and you know, what our relationship is like for you. That's it. I want you to have an amazing couple weeks because you won't be, quote unquote, seeing me for a couple weeks. I am going to rest and rejuvenate. I hope you do the same. It's sometimes nice to take some time off from self-improvement too and just sort of be. But whatever you do, I gave you all those great ideas in the beginning of the podcast to stay in touch with me and to, you know, stay connected. And I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you again. All right. I love you, love you, love you. Thank you for being here with me. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you, and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything. You can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy, crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.